Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about how to tell a story from the folks at the Moth. Sophie, I have to ask, what's the one story you've heard that you still think about years later?
Oh, there's this one where a guy gets hit by a baseball bat and ends up in a coma. He has to get his jaw wired shut and learn to walk again. But it's not the injury that gets me. It's how he describes his mom's voice when she reads to him in the hospital. That detail stays with you.
Right? And that's exactly what the book is about. It's not just a collection of stories. It's a manual for why some stories land and others don't.
Exactly.
The Moth has been doing this for over 20 years, and they've boiled it down to a few core principles. The first one is that a story must be about change. Something has to happen that transforms the narrator.
Yeah. They say if nothing changes, it's just an anecdote. You can talk about a trip to the grocery store, but unless something about that trip shifted you, like you learned patience or had an unexpected encounter, it's not a story.
And that's so easy to forget when you're telling your own life.
We just recount events.
I've definitely done that, told a long story and realized at the end that nothing really happened.
Oh, totally. The second principle is stakes. The audience has to know why this moment matters. It doesn't have to be life or death. It could be the fear of embarrassment or the hope of connection. But if they don't know what's at risk, they won't lean in.
And the third is specificity. The book says that when you say, "I was nervous," the audience understands the concept, but they don't feel it. But if you describe the sweat on your palms and the knot in your stomach, they experience it with you.
That's the difference between telling and showing. And it's so much harder than it sounds. I tried to tell a story about a job interview once, and I just said, "I was really anxious." It felt totally flat.
Right.
The fourth principle is point of view. You don't have to be a hero. In fact, the best stories come from vulnerability. You have to be honest about what you are feeling, even if it's messy.
The book talks about structure too. It starts with equilibrium, life before the story. Then an inciting incident disrupts it. Then you navigate obstacles, and you end with a new equilibrium. You've changed.
And one of the hardest parts is knowing what to leave out. Every detail should either advance the plot, reveal character, or build atmosphere. If it doesn't do one of those things, cut it, even if it's your favorite anecdote.
Ouch. That's brutal but true. The opening is crucial too. You have only a few seconds to grab the audience. They say to drop us right into the action, at the moment of disruption. No long setup.
And the middle is where the tension lives. The audience wants to see you struggle. They want to see you fail and try again. That's what makes them root for you.
The ending doesn't have to be happy. It just has to be honest. It should reflect the real outcome, not the one you wish it happened. And it should feel like a completion.
One thing that really struck me is that they warn against being too polished. Rehearsing until it sounds scripted kills authenticity. The goal is connection, not a perfect performance.
Yeah, and they also say don't try to tell too many stories at once. Focus on one moment of change. Trust that the audience will understand the broader context through that one lens.
The emotional arc is just as important as the narrative arc. You have to be honest about your emotions. Don't hide from the pain or the joy. When you're vulnerable, the audience becomes vulnerable with you.
And your voice matters. The rhythm, the pacing, the tone. They say think of your voice as an instrument. The way you say something is often more important than what you say.
Preparation is key, but so is flexibility. Know your story well enough to tell it without notes, but be willing to adapt in the moment based on the audience's reaction.
Physicality too. How you stand, move, and use your hands. But the goal is to be natural. If you're nervous, it's okay to acknowledge it. The audience will forgive you. What they can't forgive is inauthenticity.
And the story has to be true, not necessarily perfectly accurate. Memory is fallible, but emotionally honest. You can't fabricate feelings. The audience will sense it.
The length matters too. Moth stories are 5 to 10 minutes. Every minute should advance the narrative or deepen the emotional impact. If it's too long, you lose them. Too short, it feels incomplete.
But the biggest takeaway for me is that storytelling is about connection. When we share our stories, we discover that our experiences aren't as unique as we think. The things that embarrass us, the things that hurt us, they bind us together.
Yeah, they say the stories that matter most are often the ones we're most afraid to tell. The ones that reveal our weaknesses. When you tell those, you give others permission to tell theirs.
Honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app, with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
My one takeaway? I'm going to stop trying to be perfect and just focus on being honest. That's the whole secret, isn't it?
It really is.
Everyone has a story worth telling, and the craft is just finding the moment of change and telling it true. We'll see you in the next one.